This podcast is brought to you by On Track Studio. Hello and welcome back to Big Brand Energy. Today's an exciting day for a couple of reasons. I'm actually in a studio in Bali and it's called Lighthouse Studio, and it was the first, I guess, expander for me when I first started On Track. The first place I saw that was also doing a podcast studio, and it's so full circle moment to be here and actually recording an episode. The second reason it's exciting is because I've got my best friend Sky on the episode with me today.
So exciting. Hi guys.
You may see her around on Instagram going under Studio Sky, but also personal Instagram is Sky Richardson. And we're going to have a big conversation today. We talk a lot about the creative process together, just, you know, over coffee. And we wanted to bring it to you guys because I think you're going to get a lot out of it. We want to have a discussion around dissolving creative blocks, because what we find is often when it comes to client work, it is like turning on a tap for creativity. It's like when you need to do something, you get it done, and your creative juices, sure, maybe there's a bit of fatigue every now and then, but essentially the project gets complete and happy days. But then all of a sudden, when you have to focus on your own brand or your own content, there seems to be this like often block, resistance, whatever comes up. And it's frustrating. It is so frustrating. But we have obviously been doing this for a little while, so my intention for the episode is to completely validate that experience on one hand and have that sort of relatability for you if you do face that, but also give you some takeaways for what it is that you can do to dissolve those blocks in the moment, because we have, learnt a few things over the years of being in our separate industries. So before we get into all of that goodness, I'll open the floor up to Sky just to let her give you guys a bit of an intro about what it is she does and why it is you care about what she has to say. Over to you.
Thank you. So I'm Sky and I'm a graphic designer. I've been designing for maybe about 5-6 years now. I started studying in Sydney and working for a marketing agency, which was a great experience, but it was very marketing based and very client facing. So obviously I learned a lot about how to deal with the client processes. So it's more than just design, I guess, which is important for most people in this industry. Like, it's not just designing. And so from there, I was working on my own brand on the side, trying to build that up. Not really sure what I was doing, but just, you know, giving it a go. And then from there, I stepped more into my business a year later, back on the Sunshine Coast. And that's where Sophie and my friendship kind of blossomed, which was lovely. And so good to be able to relate to her about a lot of the creative problems, like experiences, and bounce ideas off each other. And she also got me a lot of work, which was, great. And just like set me up for just my creative role. And from there, I've just been building on my brand, and I'm now like specializing in branding, which is what I'm passionate about. It's people's identity within their business, so it's just so important for people to hit that nail on the head. And everything in their business then flows on from that, I feel. But yes, so I'm now living in Bali. I moved here 2 months ago purely because I invested in myself, my brand, my business, and I've had people like Sophie supporting me from the side. Now I just get to freelance here and it's just great. So,
And it's so interesting because all of that, like what we were actually talking about before coming into record, is the kind of change of environment and how creative you have been feeling since moving to Bali, which we'll probably talk about as well. But it's been so cool to watch Sky evolve throughout all of the time that we've been friends, not only as a designer, but also as like a professional, you know, like she's being so humble in that, by the way, so fucking humble, because, you know, she's been leading like a team of designers for an activewear company back in Brisbane. And she's actually still doing contract work with that while she's here, which is an unreal opportunity. And she, you know, I have passed on people to Sky many times, like she mentioned, and it's always nailed. Like, you know, it's not because you're my mate. It's because you nail it. And I really feel like, you know, everyone who listens to Big Brand Energy gets this. I probably said it a fuck ton of times before, but, you know, I believe that the brand is the soul of your business, and you represent that so beautifully through visuals, and now stepping into your own content and your own stuff. It's just so cool to see it all kind of come 3D, 4D and all the things. But yeah, so that's a little bit about us.
It's a bit of background.
Yeah, this is like the smallest little snippet. Yep. But I wanted to open up the discussion to talk about first, why do you actually think it is, why do we have that block when we are facing our own brands? Like, what do you think that comes down to?
I think when you are so passionate about your work, you invest so much time in, you know, like the ideation phase, the execution phase within other brands' work for them, because obviously you're not attached to it the way you are when it's your brand. And I think that attachment can, like, for a lot of the time, it can really stop you from either executing or even before that, like being able to find that inspiration. And I think it's just because there's more pressure you put on yourself as your own brand to be perfect or to be this and that. And it's like, I just think when you are a perfectionist or you, there's just like other elements about your personal behaviors that impact the way you show up for your brand versus how you show up for your clients. Like, your clients' work can flow because you also take the time out of your day to work on that brand. And a lot of the time, in the beginning phases of my business, I wouldn't actually create space in my day for myself and my brand. So of course there's going to be creative blocks, like, what am I creating? And then at the end of the day, I'm exhausted, I'm overwhelmed, and that just adds to it. So then a week goes by, and then, you know, it's just like a vicious cycle sometimes. I don't know,
couldn't agree more. I feel like I think that what's interesting is, there's two things. It's like the logistics of actually giving yourself the time in the calendar, and then all of a sudden you have that time, say you're on that next layer, you're like, okay, I'm actually going to put effort into my brand now, whether it's content design, whatever, or even office suite creation, course creation, whatever it looks like. And then you sit down and you've got, that's when you hit that kind of cricket phase or frustration phase. And one time I heard someone I respect talk about, it was nothing to do with business, but he was saying, talking about how to de-stress, and he was saying how, you know, stress actually can't exist the same time you are in true creativity. And I just thought about that and I was like, God, you know, speaking about what you just said about pressure, it's like, okay, if we have all of that pressure expectation put on what we are creating for our business, true creativity, we don't even have access to it.
No.
So,
of course not. I feel like the most like the times where I feel most inspired or there's more creativity flowing is when I've like taken a break from work, probably, or even I'm out in nature or going for a walk, and it's like when there's no pressure whatsoever to create something, that is when it will flow, and that's when the inspiration will come.
Yeah.
But then after that, to sit down and actually execute on that is a whole other story again.
Yeah. This is layered.
Yeah, it's layered. It's not just one creative block.
I know, but I totally relate to that. Like when I'm on a long drive or on a long like hike or walk or something solo, my notes app cops it.
Doesn't it?
God, I'm I'm like, I am seriously
going to be a diary. It's a diary.
Best selling author.
Yeah.
Fuck podcasting, fuck content. Yeah. I actually will be a famous writer now. So yeah, I completely relate to that. I think that, space and time is it.
Definitely.
Initially, for sure. And I also think that, I mean, I've when I speak with my coaching clients in particular about, you know, their creative blocks, and it's so funny. It's so funny because you, even when we talk, you're like, you just say something and it's, and you can tell someone else to do this thing that you've worked out, but then you go and do it and you just forget like all the things that you know will help
the advice that you've given. It's like, literally, I'm not taking it on board.
I know, but
why is it so hard?
One thing I do talk about a lot with my clients is you know, being taking inventory of what your creative or what your creative portals are, and so and I call them portals because it's like, what do you do when immediately what The portal is what you do when immediately after you feel that creative urge. And we were talking about this yesterday as well. Like, I find sometimes that it's not so much that I don't set the time, because I am quite free and like I don't like a calendar blocking. Like, sometimes it serves, but sometimes it doesn't for me personally. But when I know what it is that makes me feel inspired, for example, whenever I have a strategy consultation, I'm like, it's 1 hour of power, and I'm like infusing this human with everything I know and apply. And so I'm like buzzing after that hour. And, you know, that would be a great time for me to have put aside in the calendar, like 2 hour space for me to actually then go and be like content creation, or at least plan the content, script the content, whatever it is. But my mistake often is that I have the strategy consult, then I've got the meeting after, and then I've got to go pick this up and do this, and then I've got clients coming in, and I'm like, okay, well, the momentum is completely gone.
Oh, definitely. I can definitely relate to that.
Yeah.
I think just, well, you are running a business. So the reality is, you know, we can't just block out 6 hours or 4 hours in the day to allow for that to happen when you are trying to make money and, you know, keep your clients happy. But I think it does come down to balance and learning what it is that, gets you into that like creative portal. And maybe it's not straight after that you execute these ideas that you've got, or, you know, use that inspiration, but maybe it's like holding on to those things in that moment that got you into that state. So in that strategy consult, you know, like, what are you talking about? Like, let's revisit those ideas when you have got the time. Let's, you know, what are some other ways you can tap into it the same way you did, but by yourself, when you've actually got space created in the calendar to execute. And yeah, I guess like for me, I felt like I had to step away from a lot of responsibilities outside of work, because I can be quite social. And I think
you and me both.
Exactly.
We thrive in those social settings.
So it's not just the work taking up the time, but it's also prioritizing our social life, which is great because that also fills our cup up, but it can quickly go the other way. And you know, I think having a day on the weekend that you really do just honor your practices for yourself, whatever that is. And like, for me, it's slowing down. That's how I feel creative, and that's how I feel inspired. And then like in those moments, I will scroll, like I will say videos that I found inspiring, and I'll scroll back and like look at them all and feel that energy that I first felt when I watched it, and then think about how I can recreate something, or how I can use that to push me into that task that I really want to execute. I just, it's
totally. And I think as well, just knowing yourself, like that is an underrated tool to use in business. Because you have, like, throughout the last 12 months, like I've seen you really acknowledge, okay, I am, like, you kind of would have identified as an extrovert at one stage in your life, wouldn't you?
Definitely.
And over the last 12 months, you've been like, you know what, I am actually an introvert.
Yeah, I'm more of an introvert, and occasionally I have the energy to be extroverted now. I think I just have bigger goals now, and I just know what it takes to reach that. Or, you know, like what I need to sacrifice as well. And that's like, well, I'm sacrificing a lot if I'm maintaining my old lifestyle where I'm acting extroverted and socializing a lot. But now, yeah, I would definitely say I'm more introverted. I think I've just noticed how, when I'm feeling drained energetically, and it is when I am giving a lot of my time to people. Not because, you know, I want to give my time to people. That is true. And that's where I guess I feel extroverted, because I really want to do that. But then it just means that I can't give that time elsewhere. And really, I think I've had conversations with people in some previous jobs, and, you know, we'll explain. I've asked them, like, how do you feel after, like, today? If we've spoken a lot during the day. I'm like, I feel drained after speaking. And she's like, I feel I feel good. I feel like that has actually given me energy. And I'm like, this is how we all differ. Like,
exactly.
We need to acknowledge our own personal traits, boundaries, I don't know, just like our personal identity.
Absolutely. Because I can relate to feeling energized after the correct conversations. Like if it's
definitely
in depth, if it's got substance, like all the prerequisites of a good connection. And then and you know this.
Yeah.
I'm like, ready, let's go. But yeah, I have my own, I guess, areas of awareness around when I am drained. And yeah, it's been like, it's like, okay, first you know it and then you have to like honor it. That part has been really actually hard for both of us.
Yeah, it's a bit of a roller coaster because it's hard to be in that present moment and acknowledge it and then actually honor it.
Yeah, especially because your habits and your whole identity is the version that ignores it or didn't know about it, therefore ignored it. So then you're aware of it and it's like, okay, I'm actually going to have to say no to this, or I'm actually going to have to say like no to the third margarita or fifth margarita, you know?
Yeah.
And that's hard.
Yeah, of course it's hard.
The tiniest violin. Oh, Sophia, sorry. Yeah. No more tequila shots. But no, I just think it's one thing to be aware of, which is the first step, and then, actually honoring it.
Yeah.
And, you know, as well, like once you have the awareness around, because recently for me, I realized that my one answer to my current cap of where I'm at is I actually just need, I don't have enough capacity to do what I need to do. So the one thing I need to do is actually less. So I'm no longer operating at 110%, which is how I've been operating for 3 years or more. And actually have 75 to 80% capacity at all times. So when those things do come up and my yes man tendency does come online, I can say yes, and it's not like I'm not at 130% and like burning out.
And boy have we experienced burnout.
And I think so when I had this realization recently of like, okay, capacity is the problem, the solution is that, then there's the transition period where it's like, okay, but I am kind of victim to past Sophie's commitments and mistakes and yes man tendencies, so I have to just not be that like, you know, I'm a kind of person, it's just like, okay, see, execute, fix, like I just want to fix it and you are too. And it's like, there are, you know, in this particular realm, it's like you actually can't necessarily always just be like, all right, I'm gonna do this now and then do it, because we're running businesses, we've got client work, we've got commitments that we've accepted. So you've got to, like, I've had to be like, all right, time is coming for me to actually do what I say I want to do and what my preference is now, but I've just got to ride this wave.
The past Sophie's commitments,
fuck that chick.
I know. We are forward thinking now.
Totally. But now I'm at a place where it's like all kind of, I'm doing that and it feels so much better. So
and more creativity flows in those moments. And for me, it will always come down to space. That is where I feel inspired and where I can actually tap into all those things I want to do for myself and my business. And a huge reason why I moved to Bali was, one of the biggest reasons was because, not to escape Australia and my life in Australia, but I definitely thrive in situations where I'm put out of my comfort zone, I'm in a different culture, I get to meet people that are doing cool shit and actually feel inspired by that. Like, feeling inspired by other people is key. Like, you know, that energy, when it's just like when you're in your strategy meetings, like you're both there ready to talk about like things that are inspiring you, ideas, like you're just in this creative phase. And so putting yourself in like an environment that is also going to get you into that creative experience, like, for me is huge. And then also being able to be here, I've been saying to Sophie that I feel like you buy time in Bali.
You
know, you don't have to do
your washing,
your cleaning, and I know that's super privileged and that is one thing, but also this time in my life I'm going to use that time that I'm not spending doing those chores to actually put into my business or into the things that I want to do. That might not even be my business. That might be learning a new skill, you know, like just something that will also then overflow into my business, because 100%. You learn outside of the box. Like, that is where you learn most.
100%.
So
Yeah. That space and time element to what we're speaking to as well. It's like I kind of want to speak into like what we're feeling that with. Of course, there's moments where, or sections of that where it is intentional stillness. Like it is actually lying down or doing something like reading, all those things. But I also feel like there's something to be said for business, not related, but like your own self-development. Mm-hmm. And like for me, that looks like a lot to do with spirituality at the moment. Previously, it was a lot to do with like genuine self-development, upskilling, learning, like, you know, dissolving my own like past traumas, you know, all of this stuff, which is something that we've both done. Mm-hmm. And I think would be rude not to credit it for how we
absolutely
have been going.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously your shadow self and the things that the stories you've been telling yourself since a child obviously play out in your business because they play out in every aspect of your life. So maybe the creative block is or was in the past for me actually me not feeling worthy of reaching the success I desire. And so
we know that's true.
Yeah, I'm going to self-sabotage. I'm going to find a reason why I've got this creative block and I'm not going to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
But once you move past all that stuff, it becomes effortless and you do notice shifts. And then it goes into, okay, well, now I'm showing up. I'm admitting to myself that I do deserve what I desire.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's just like a whole other ball game.
100%. And I think what that actually looks like for people who that's kind of going a bit woo with, but what that actually looks like is realizing that you are, when you're in your current circumstance, say your business isn't necessarily thriving with clients and you want that. I know you consciously want to have 10 more clients in your books right now. I get that. But there's a part of you that, you know, is being very soothed and happy by the fact you don't have that, because I always ask the question of what do you get to keep doing? Or what would you have to stop doing if that was to come true? So that can often look like, you know, less midweek beach dates, or maybe it's something deeper. Like you'd actually have to show yourself on social media. Like maybe you don't currently get on video. And then those things are where you get to be like, okay, ooh, I actually do feel a bit fearful of showing up and speaking to the camera, or, you know, fearful of giving up my current work-life balance that you might have. And so once you realize that, you get to go within and be like, okay, choice, right? Mm-hmm. Do I want the clients? Do I want to get on camera, push past that fear, limiting belief, or do I not?
Yeah.
And then you actually have to, like you have done and myself has done, do the thing and then realize, oh, yeah, okay.
Definitely. I will say though, like, for me, I feel like when I was experiencing that, I've only really, you know, like feeling comfortable now just showing my face and showing up in that way. But I think to build that confidence, because it is a totally different behavior, obviously, like that feels uncomfortable. And so that is something you need to move through initially, and that can stop you from showing up and doing what you want to do. But also like having that creative block within what you're posting and what you're talking about is something that I experienced too. But I guess like for me, I just gave myself some grace and was like, okay, like this is a totally foreign experience. This is something I want to do though, something that's going to push my business further and help me connect with my clients and audience. So it's important. So what is something that I'm going to do to change this? Because I do need to show up. Otherwise I'm not living authentically.
Yeah,
thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what was that?
Well, I was just being intentional with what I was searching for on social media. So I would just look for other graphic designers or designers, creatives, look at the content they're creating, save it in folders, like, you know, be specific in those folders, just start playing with the algorithm so that now I'm being targeted with more content. And honestly, that is a godsend, because every afternoon or every couple of days, like, I will go and just check my feed, and that is a source of inspiration now, because I've curated it to just be other people showing up, showing their face, giving you topic ideas, then you can reflect on those topic ideas and be like, how can that relate to me and my business and the value I can bring my audience? Like
100%. Normalizing. Mm-hmm. If like, let's keep going with the face to camera thing, right? Yeah. If you are someone who has just had a personal Instagram page and just mm-hmm. post your lunch and, you know, the outfit mm-hmm. of the day and not really speak to your friends, because that's what they are at that, and then expect to start a business page or transition to a business page and then suddenly start speaking to the camera when the rest of your feed is doing exactly what you used to do, you're going to feel super like fish out of water and like this isn't really what you do. But what you've done is, yeah, you've mm-hmm. curated your algorithm, but you've also normalized, oh, this is what we do here. Like, we are humans mm-hmm. who crave to be accepted in our tribes at the yeah. end of the day. And so it's like, oh, this is what we do. Let's normalize it.
Absolutely. Like, and definitely helped.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, you're just opening your... Well, you're opening yourself up, obviously, to seeing more of it. And the more of it you see, the more comfortable you feel. Like, yeah, exactly like you said.
Absolutely.
This is what we do here.
Yeah, so this is what we do.
Why am I not doing it?
Exactly.
No one cares about my lunch. Like, people want to know... You know, why am I here? What have I got to say?
Yeah.
Why am I eating this way? Let's yeah. go there. Yeah. If we're going to show the lunch, why do I eat this way?
100%.
You know?
Yeah, totally agree. Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. Just then you were mentioning the fact that there is the struggle of what to post, right? Mm-hmm. And I think this is the other thing we're talking about, is there is also the part where you can actually like either outsource or collaborate or get a mentor in the areas that you feel that lack in. Like for me, I never struggle of like topics to post, like because that's my training, that's my background. So I'm not going to necessarily need that infusion in to get to where I need to be. But one massive thing for me was to like actually let go of the editing of my own podcast and give it to my team. Outsource that shit. I don't want to mm-hmm. do it. Like I like mm-hmm. the end result and I can get into the flow of it, but also I could just like remove this resistance so much more by paying a little bit of money to get that sorted for me.
Yeah. I mean, as a business owner, we're expected to do it all. But when you look big picture, if you invested all your time doing it all every day, you really have little time to make the moves on the big picture stuff.
Exactly.
And so, yes, obviously let's outsource where possible, because you aren't like, what you have to offer is amazing, yes, but what you have to offer within a team dynamic with other people's input, it's so much better.
It also just links right back into creating more space and time.
Yeah.
You know, like where that is where you can fucking mm-hmm. find it. And also if you're someone who gets like block around topics or the actual execution, or like if you're there trying to design something and you're not a designer, mm-hmm. like you get time by investing in a professional who can do this in literally like
a snap
of the fingers.
It's years practicing our individual fields. Like obviously to then expect yourself to replicate something of a similar quality is just, it's unreasonable on yourself. 100%. And then, you know, being a perfectionist, it can then lead to like, you know, you're disappointed or you're not even doing it because you're frustrated with how it's appearing or how it's turning out.
Mm.
And yeah, again, it's just like adding to that creative block and that want to just step away from your business rather than step into it.
Mm.
You want to keep that energy of wanting to be involved with your business.
Yeah.
Totally. You want to minimize that feeling of wanting to exit and get out. Literally. Because
press the red button.
This,
yeah, 100%. I think as well, like you wouldn't service your car. You wouldn't no. service your car. You probably could. There's probably a lot of YouTube.
I should have learned yes. how to. I've had many car problems in exactly. the past year.
Exactly. You could pretty much probably pick the sound.
Yeah.
Pick the sound. At this point. Yeah, the engine's gone. But no. Yeah, you know, like, and that's just the perfect mm-hmm. example. Like, we have the right way of thinking in so many other elements in our life, but then it comes to our business and we just like forget it all. Like mm-hmm. we're just like, oh well, I'll work this out, I have to do mm-hmm. it alone. And like, you don't. And
no.
also the reason why people in like corporate settings are doing so well is because they get mental health days, they get professional development days, they get team.
Sounds nice.
You know, create that for yourself. Yeah. Like you have to.
Definitely.
No one else is coming to create that for you. So start with doing that for sure.
Yeah. Honestly, I think that is the key. It is to honor your limits and honor that it is a process as well. Mm. Like putting that pressure on yourself to have it all done, have it all, you know, to have your business where you want it to be right now is just not realistic. And so, yes, take the time to unwind. Think about the ways you, like the things you need within your work day, like step away from your computer, have your lunch. It's so basic, but it's just, you know, it's so easy to get.
That reminder will never get old for me. I get in a vortex with work.
It's bad.
Oh my God, it's bad.
I think we can all relate to that.
Yeah, for sure.
But I would say I get in that vortex when I'm working for my clients, right? Like I'm in it. I'm putting myself last. I'm just not so much now, but I definitely would have in the past a lot more. And not eating the lunch, not like just stepping outside and going for a walk and realizing that that hour-long walk will actually help you create quicker. For me anyway, I've experienced that actually taking time away, which you think might is like, yeah, obviously
counterproductive.
It's actually productive because you do get a fresh perspective. You do give your mental headspace a bit of a break. More ideas will come to you in that moment also because you're not fixated on the idea. I just...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the second part of that is like, you know, allowing it to be not the full like production or like big, like big picture thing that you've now got in your mind. Like I get like that. Like I have such high standards on my podcast because I have a podcast studio, or like YouTube because I have, I service people like editing YouTube. I'm like, oh, well, like I know what I could do, but I have currently have my resources right now are this much time, this much budget.
Yeah.
I don't want to like, I don't want to half ass this.
No.
And yeah. And like, I can get really in my head about that. But what I've learned is just like, yes, I've said this before again on the podcast, but seeing your content, your business, your brand as a body of art, as opposed to a one-off masterpiece with each thing will transform your relationship with it and like just allow it to evolve and not get so fixated like on the one thing.
Absolutely. It is about the value you're giving to people and the message you're giving to people, your audience. Like obviously you want it to be on brand. Obviously you want to create stuff that is aligned to your vision and what your offerings are.
We'll shift gears because I want to talk about little like things that you found within your own, I guess, like I would love for the audience to understand a little bit of what you have learned from working with clients, from the way of like actually receiving and understanding what it is that you want to, I guess, create brand wise, like because you are so good at, I guess, hearing what they say, translating it into like visual. Like what would you say to someone who is trying to do that for themselves?
Within their own business.
Within their like, own business, or actually like even like take it wherever you want to go. But what I was more thinking is like communicating with their own clients.
Right.
Like
yeah.
how are you, like you are so good at listening and getting it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that comes down to obviously processes and figuring out what it is. Like more information is always better.
Yeah.
Right. And creating something that, you know, obviously client interaction, getting to know one another, getting to know business goals. Like I'll talk specifically about a brand. Like if I'm going to create a brand, obviously it's important to have, well, it might not be obvious, but a questionnaire, right? Like I, when I first started out, I would ask maybe 3, 4, 5 questions before beginning a branding project. And I have learnt the hard way that a lot of the time clients don't know what they want. And it's through this strategy, through a conversation and also through time, just strategically answering questions that are strategic to hit the mark on what you're trying to find out, will help get rid of any, you know, roadblocks in that creation process. Because I've, people will say they want one thing, but then they realize that they, it's not aligned to their brand and it's not, it's more of a personal thing that they want, but really it's not big picture. And so then you create something.
I'm just laughing because I'm thinking about when you designed my logo and my brief to Sky was like, I really just like simple, simplistic, minimalistic looks. And I was completely explaining my general style, not what I wanted. And then she just kept finessing. And then all of a sudden, like, what was, I'm like, yes, that's it. And she's like, okay, so this is quite bold.
Yeah.
This is quite out there and bold. That's what
you retro. Not minimal.
I was like,
Yeah. So I think a lot of people will, I think it's, you need personal skills. Like, you need to be able to read into what people, your clients are saying to you also.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time, the clients, yeah, will say one thing, but if you don't have the right questions and you take that for face value, it's not actually what they want in the end. And then you've just, you know, you've created something that then won't be used, or you've provided a service that is not what they were really wanting.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important to have strategy meetings, and it's important to, you know, have a whole list of questions that ask things in different ways to try and get the answer you're looking for.
Totally.
So, like, I'll ask a business, you know, what they, I'll be very literal with what I'm trying to get, what answer I'm trying to get, but then I'll ask that same question in a creative way, because some people are more creative thinkers and some people are, you know, so we all we all work differently, and a huge part of getting what is required to build a brand or provide the service that you're supposed, like, that you are providing successfully to the client is through trying to understand them personally.
Mm. And you can only do that as well, like, by understanding yourself. So, like, when we think about, like, I always think about this with my clients, with production, right? So, like, I know what I need to know in order to make this work. Like, so you need to know that as well. So for you, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, this is what I need to know. And then asking the questions in a way that you can get that, which mm-hmm. is why you don't replicate someone else's questionnaire for your, you know, your website and stuff like that, because it may look good, but then mm-hmm. you get it and you're like, okay, cool. What do I
absolutely
do with this?
Yes, exactly. Which I think is really not your important language.
Exactly. And I think this can be like, really, yeah, I guess translate to literally anything. It's not just like service providers. I think, you know, any sort of career person as well who like wants to impress their boss, you need to be able to read what they want, and you can speak mm-hmm. into that as well, because you've done it too. But I remember when I was working for other people, they'd say the like one thing and I'm like, no, you actually only care about the leads. Like, you actually only care about the leads. And realizing that and focusing on that as opposed to what they're saying mm-hmm. was like why I became, you know, their yeah. fave in the of moment. Course. And yeah, it also can apply to just general life.
Definitely. People are coming at you from their own lens. So yeah. you have to look through their lens to really get what they're trying to say to you.
Exactly.
And then, yeah, if you want to relate it to work, obviously, like, the task at hand is the job. It's not yeah. what we personally are, I guess, saying. Like, that obviously is important, but it's just, what are we actually saying and what is going to benefit the business? Like, what is the thing that you're creating, like the brand or, you know, the podcast service production that you're offering? Like, how is that personal to them, but also within their brand, not just like them being particular within their own like personal like identity. Like, this is,
yeah,
these are my standards for myself, but what's the standards for the brand?
Yeah, it needs to be a separate identity. And yeah, the reason I asked you that is because, like, I believe that in terms of the big topic we're talking about, like dissolving creative blocks, I think when I work with clients, the number one thing I think is actually blocking them above all is lack of clarity.
Absolutely.
If you don't know where you're going, mm-hmm. you're not really going to move in any direction fast, are you?
No.
So I think, like, being able to identify where you lack clarity and focusing simply on getting clarity mm-hmm. will, like, allow you to walk into it a lot more yeah. calmly.
And how do you feel like you got clarity then when you were, say, with the brand, right, when we were creating the brand? Was it having to see the...
Well, like, in the design, that's a good question. I would say, yeah, I think you know this particularly in that stage of my life. Mm. I was just, yeah, I didn't put much time or space into myself at all. So I was thinking on the fly. Like, I hadn't had a preconceived idea of what I wanted at all. I knew the energy I wanted for my brand very clearly. And the purpose behind it was very clear for me, but visually I actually didn't care.
Mm.
So there was that. So it wasn't a priority for me to think, okay, what's this going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that that does matter and doing that. So it was a matter of, I guess thinking about it, to be honest. It's so simple. But, you know, I was wasting your time. Like in my head, I'm like, I wasn't, but it's the process and you honored that. But I thought, okay, I'm asking these things. She's bringing exactly what I've asked for. I need to think about what my next suggestion, recommendation, request is before I do that. So I think for me, it was just thinking about it.
Absolutely.
There you go.
The strategy.
Yeah. Secret sauce. Yeah.
Use the brain.
Yeah.
Yes. I think when... Yeah, you're a business owner and you've got exactly back to the beginning of the conversation, so many things happening at once. You aren't creating the space to then do the things you want to do for your brand.
Mm.
But when you do have a little bit of space, you're just jumping in head first, trying to get it done.
Yeah.
Or you're not doing it because you've got, you know, the overwhelm, the creative block. And I just feel like time is everything. Pressure off.
Yeah.
Do whatever you can to get yourself into that state. And... Start thinking from a place of like big vision. Don't think like just as the next task. Like give yourself that time to think big.
100%. And I'm just realizing now, like, you know, that came from me doing something out of like from the place of I should have a branding identity. I should do this. And like, correct, I should have. But I think recognizing, just clocking, okay, where am I doing things because I should? And like, shift that perspective, because you're not going to get the best result for the people you're working with or by yourself if you're actually coming from that place. And I see it all the time in content. Like, so many people want to start a podcast because they've got a business and they've seen that podcasting is really important or really easy to grow a brand with or whatever it is. Like, it's all over the internet. I should have a podcast, rah, rah, rah. Those people that come to me and they want to start it, like, hats off to you. Genuinely, I agree, you should. But when you're coming from that energy, the content is going to be shit. Like, you're not going to be serving your audience. You're not going to be representing yourself the way you want to. So it's like, okay, what can I latch onto? Like, what part of this process, this thing that I should do that I don't have that relationship with at this point in time, what part can I latch onto of like, oh no, I really want this. Like, I desire this outcome. And for me, I think it was like, okay, it actually came from not wanting to waste your time as my best friend. That was enough for me to shift. For someone else, it's going to be like, okay, what outcome do I want from this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want leads, I want social media content, or I want, you know, a beautiful fucking brand that represents me wholeheartedly. Then okay, if I want that, then what do I need to do in order to achieve that?
Exactly. Way because better. It's so individual.
Yeah,
obviously. Like, yeah, a brand, everything, everyone is like, every brand and business is so different from one another. And you might have the same business model or like idea, but how you execute it is going to be personal and have its own set of differences.
And that's your greatest strength.
Absolutely.
In business, is having that point of difference.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to ask you these questions like at the end now that we're here. Mm-hmm. Because I just respect your opinion on brand so much. And I just want to, I don't think I've ever asked you this, but I want to know, because obviously this is big brand energy. What does it take to have that essence within your brand? Like, what do you think it comes down to? Like, if there's three things, if there's one thing.
Do you, in my brand specifically, or just in a brand?
In a brand. Like, when you see a brand and you respect it and you feel that big brand energy, what are the three things, one thing it has?
Well, it's definitely individual and authentic. Their message, they might be pushing a similar message to other people, but it's how they're pushing it. It's, there's a lot of personality, I think. I think be bold and in how you, how the visuals are, how your branding is, but also how you express yourself and that message. Think outside of the box. Like, don't watch what other people are doing and think you need to do it that specific way. I think big brand energy is like being bold and taking that leap of faith in the content you're putting out, or, you know, the service you're providing, thinking of how it can be different, but in a way that's going to elevate, you know, your client's life. Like, we all want bigger, better things.
Mm.
And so we need to show up with that energy.
Absolutely. Yeah. I knew I'd agree. It's like so many, yeah, it's having that and having like multi-dimension of that.
Yeah.
Like taking up space.
Absolutely taking up space.
Yeah.
So you need a voice and you need to.
Yeah. And that needs to come through with your visuals and with your actual product, service, content, all of it.
Yeah.
In our opinion, gentlemen.
Yeah.
And ladies.
And well, ladies.
Yeah, that's basically all I wanted to discuss on this podcast. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in, listening, and coming along with our Balinese version of On Track Studio and holding the space for Sky. Go follow her. Go get around her content because there's so much coming. Y'all don't even understand. Any final words?
No, just thank you for having me. You're welcome. I love having you in Bali and keen for some, you know, new creative endeavors in the future.
I know. It's exciting.
It is.
Bye.
Bye.